Because he lives, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, because he lives. You know, Brother Steve said that he's glad he wasn't putting his faith in some old bones, amen. That's a good thought right there if you think about it, amen. And you start and you think about what we're really facing in this world today, and I don't see how some people go through it. I don't see how some people go through the struggles of living in this world while putting their faith in something that they made. Amen. Yeah. Putting their faith in something that man's hands have made and trusting in something that is can be broken and fallen down. And reminded of the story over there when the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, was taken into the Philistines. And they took that thing over there and put it in the house of Dagon. And that house of Dagon sat up there. And they went in the next day and their god Dagon was on the ground. Amen. And they set him back up and they went back in the next day, and he was back on the ground, amen. And they set him back up, went back in there. The next day, he was on the ground. He was broken, amen. And I'm just thinking about the power of our God today, a living God that we serve, not an inanimate object, amen, that can be made with man's hands and broken with man's hands. What a blessing that is. I want to bring a brief introduction to you tonight. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to be in John chapter 16, but I'm going to give you a four-chapter outline just real quick, and you're welcome to write it down if you have time, if you're taking notes this evening. But we've spoken the past couple days here. Sunday morning we talked in Sunday school about the hope of glory, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Sunday morning service we spoke about the preparation for revival, that there's a consideration for revival in our life that we must have. And there's a condition that is in our world today that requires revival or would call for revival. But friend, there's a cost to revival, realizing that we are helpless before our God, amen, that we must approach Him in humility and that we need a healing in our land. That's all in the preparation of revival. Then we saw Sunday night that there must be a purge for revival, that we must put away the sin from our life so that the Holy Spirit of God will have free reign in our life, that we can have a cleansed vessel. I'm not talking about salvation. We're talking about revival, amen. A revival occurs to something that which was alive once before. Someone's saved and born again, and they get revived for the Holy Spirit of God. And last night, the most intricate part of revival that I believe, after we've cleaned this vessel out, is the prayer for revival, the time when we come to God and we just ask Him to be involved, to intervene in our life, that we may intercede before the throne of God so that He would intervene in our life and revive us again in this life. And I just want to make a few comments tonight before we get into the Scripture. But many speak of revival in our country as something that is just an impossibility. Some people, when you talk to them and you listen to them, they speak of revival like it's something that it's something that happened yesteryear and it's just not for today. And many would teach and preach that as if the Lord is bringing revival just in times past, as if He's finished with His work here in America or even other first world countries. People believe that revival is just not going to happen again. I've even heard men get in the pulpit and they've said, I tell you, those revivals were for yesteryear. They were for times gone past. And God's just done with America and God's done with England and God's done with Wales and He's done with Germany. He's done with France and He's done with all these. Listen, God is not finished is the theme this week. We know that. God's still on the throne. And if God was finished with doing His work, my friend, He would have already stepped down, come taking us home. Amen. Amen. God's not finished, beloved. He is still on that magnificent throne tonight. And might I say this, that God is not willing that any should perish, amen. Right. If we go to hell, we go as an intruder, we go by our own choice, amen. Yeah. D.M. Panton once said that it is a foolish blunder to suppose any age can be too evil for revival, amen. I've said this a couple times this week, but we have a choice tonight to stand back and curse the darkness of our country or take a match out and light a candle that our little light may shine. Inside the book of John, we find four chapters here in the Gospel of John that offer a beautiful outline for the necessities of revival and the necessities of our Christian life. And in John chapter 14, we find that it deals with our fear. I'll tell you, John 14 is very a very tender chapter of mine. It's a very blessed chapter of mine. And when I surrendered to go into the mission field of church planting in the United Kingdom, when the reality was actually hitting that we were moving from our home in Tennessee and moving to North Carolina and was about to step out by faith to travel around this country for deputation and then eventually make our way all the way to another country, that reality hit about 3 weeks prior to that big move. God woke me up and just shook my bones a little bit, and I rolled off the side of a bed. I was in Wales at that time. I rolled off the side of a bed and grabbed that Bible and opened up to the book of John, chapter 14. And that old Bible says there in John 14, 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Amen and amen. And that is our answer tonight. John 14 deals with our fear. And beloved, the answer to our fear tonight is dependent upon our relationship with the Father in heaven. 21 times in 15 verses in John 14, the Father is mentioned. John chapter 15 deals with our fruit, and the answer to our fruit tonight is dependent upon our relationship with the Son of God. Over 30 times in John 15, the Son of God is referenced in some shape, form, or fashion. In John chapter 16, which will be our chapter tonight that we will read from, it deals with our faith. And beloved, the answer to our faith tonight is dependent upon our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And I'll give you finally John chapter 17. It deals with our faithfulness. And that is the answer to our faithfulness tonight is dependent upon our relationship with God in prayer, as we heard about last night. So I want to say this tonight by way of introduction, that we need to understand that the difference between one Christian's life and another Christian's life many a times is with his relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. I had mentioned that this revival meeting will be a progressional meeting and progressional topics. And tonight we want to cover the topic of God is not finished. We want to look at the presence of the Holy Spirit of God for revival. It is said that the Holy Spirit is the most underutilized part of the Holy Trinity. John in chapter 16, if you will, and if you're there tonight, if you can, and if you're willing and able this evening, I ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 16. John in chapter 16 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." He says, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." He says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "howbeit when he," the Spirit of truth, "is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, and he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God. We thank you for an open door in a church house this evening on a Tuesday night. Father, we thank you for a congregation, a group here tonight that has come to hear thy word, to sing praises unto thy name, that has come tonight to get in and not get out, dear God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come this evening to have a revival meeting. As we would say, dear God, that we want to be revived tonight, and we understand this evening that as we've gone into our prayer closets and asked God to move inside of our life and our heart, that we must understand tonight that it is up to the Holy Spirit of God, as we will yield our members to Him to obey, to move in our midst this evening. And Father, I pray that there be nothing in our hearts and our minds, dear God, and our actions, our attitudes, that would hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit, that He may have free reign tonight in the life that are all here this evening. So, Father, be with us, dear God, as we go forward tonight into this message. Lord, I pray that you direct every word to every heart, to every mind, to every ear, dear Lord, that we may give you all the praise and all the glory for everything said and done, that in thy might and thy power we may have revival. In Jesus Christ's precious name we ask. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. Can I make a statement tonight that I believe you would agree to be true? There are too many Christians in this world today are trying to live their life or expecting of a revival to occur by their own power and their own strength. This is where the synthetics of hype comes into either through the contemporary movement that we see or the camp meeting emotions. And I understand that that's a dangerous little idol to tromp on, amen, in some circles. I understand that. And I love the camp meetings. I love the shouter house. And listen, you want to walk on the pews tonight? Walk on, amen. You want to run the bases tonight? Run the bases, amen. You want to jump up and shout as long as you're speaking English when you land? Amen. I can understand what you're saying. Praise the Lord, amen. Hey, we're all together in this thing, amen. But I'm going to tell you, too often many times, we'll get into the midst of a camp meeting and we'll slay that contemporary crowd and say how synthetic and how false and how fake they are. And then all the shouting, all the hollering, all the hooping, and all the hack preaching and all of those things, once we go out the door, is just a thing of the past. Amen. Now listen, I believe in emotions being a good thing. I'm an emotional person at times, amen. I go from being slightly happy to a little bit more happier, amen. I go from being slightly upset to a little bit more upset. Those are still emotions, praise God. I may not be one of the guys that are running around joyful and jolly and this and that, but I'll tell you a truth tonight, that if we're going to have revival in our land, if we're going to have revival in our heart this evening, it's not always going to come from the shouter out. It's definitely not going to come from the contemporary movement. It's going to come by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and the people of God yielding their members over to the Holy Spirit of God so that movement can happen from within to without. Amen and amen. We need the Holy Spirit of God in our life tonight. This is what Spurgeon said. He said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. He said, we are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire. He says, we are useless. Someone asked me one time, they said, how in the world can someone so saved, so born again, so life-sparing, so blessed in their life, how can they grow so cold and indifferent to the Word of God and the ways of God? I said, my friend, it is no different than taking a piece of coal out of a burning fire. And you take that, you may just take it 6 inches away from that fire and it is glowing hot red. And it may be glowing hot red there for a couple of minutes. We've seen that happen before, but buddy, it sits out there away from that fire a little bit long. 1 minute goes by, 2 minutes goes by, 3 minutes goes by. Before you know it, that burning hot coal fire that was just glowing and glowing with heat becomes cold and indifferent. So easy to pick up with the bare hand that it would not even burn you anymore. And we are not so different in our Christian life tonight. We are not so different in our world this evening. We get saved and born again. We're excited. We're on fire for God. We're serving the Lord. And then all of a sudden we get away from the fire of the Holy Spirit of God that is within us. And we become grow cold. And we become indifferent to the Word of God and the ways of God. And even the work of God, if you will, tonight. Friend, our power in the Christian life, our power and dependence upon revival is a relationship based with the Holy Spirit of God who we received at the time that we were saved and born again of the blood of Christ. At the very moment you accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit of God moved inside of us, and He did so He could enable us, one for one, He did so to enable us with power. Amen. Look at verse 13 with me, if you will. The Bible says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Let me say this to you. Boy, I tell you what, think about it. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't speak of anything of Himself. But that which He heard directly from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ that He got from the mind of God the Father are the things that He heard. Amen? And then Jesus Christ said, now go on down there. And the Holy Spirit of God came down here and began to fill people who were saved and born again in the blood of Christ. He fell on that day of Pentecost and it all broke loose. Amen? And I mean in Jerusalem, thousands upon thousands upon thousands began to get saved and born again in the blood of Christ. And that Holy Spirit of God just moved in those temples and moved in those temples and moved in those temples and began to bear witness upon their soul directly of what He heard in the third heaven. Now, son, that ought to give you tingles tonight. Amen? That ought to give you some goose pimples this evening when you think that something moved in you on the day that you got saved that once was in the third heaven, amen, and is bearing witness with your soul the very things that He heard directly from God. It is the power source for the Christian life. It is the power source, relationship-based, for revival tonight, the Holy Spirit of God. Matthew 28, verse 18 says this. Jesus Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, at the very same time that Jesus Christ said what he said in Matthew 28, at the very same time that he made the confession of all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, is the very same time that he also commands in Luke 24:49, saying, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now hold your place in the book of John and turn to Acts chapter 1 with me. First off, I want to show you a little thing here this evening when we talk about the power that we've received from on high. I read to you Luke 24:49. Luke 24:49 gave a time limit. Just to give you a little history lesson, just a little background. This is free. It won't cost you a dime tonight. But when Jesus Christ said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued from power from on high. Now the one who's received all power in all the universe is the one that sent that power down and endued them, amen.
Right.
But he gave him a time limit, did he not, Brother Stephen?
Amen.
Until 10 days later, 10 days after Jesus Christ ascended on high, was the time called Pentecost, Penta, 50. Alright? Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. So Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. He walked around 40 days, amen, upon this earth, give or take a day or two. If you look at him being buried for 3 days in the grave, we know he went up and put the blood upon the mercy seat. That didn't take a long time at all. Came back for 40 days span from the Passover. It was the time that Jesus Christ ascended on high. And he told his disciples, he said, tarry ye here until you're endued with the power from on high. 10 days later was Pentecost. Holy Spirit of God fell. And a revival broke out in Jerusalem. But what happened? They didn't go out like we see in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Look here. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both. This is at the same time. This is concurrently. He says, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He is telling them, when you receive the Holy Spirit of God, when He falls down and endues you with power, you are going to be witness of me simultaneously in all of these four places. But they didn't do that, did they? They stayed there in Jerusalem. And depending on who you read, we find out that there could have been up to 25 to 35,000 converts in Jerusalem all. They never went out to Samaria, never went out into Judea, they never went out to the uttermost parts of the earth until the Lord allowed a great tragedy to happen. Amen. And by the great tragedy that happened, we know the death of Stephen, and then all of a sudden they got busy, went to Judea, then went to Samaria, and then we find that the Apostle Paul is mightily and wonderfully chosen, and the Word of God went throughout all of the world, amen, because tonight, guys, we can lay great and wonderful thanks to the Apostle Paul that we are here today and saved and born again, that minister unto the Gentiles, amen.
Right.
But I said all that to say this, that just was a side note, but in Acts chapter 1, we find that they were to receive power of the Holy Spirit of God. But notice in verse 7, it says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Now in verse 7, that word power comes from, now listen, the word power in verse 7 comes from a Greek word called ousousia. And that word means authority, it means jurisdiction. It's the very same word power that you have in Matthew 28, verse 18. And that is to say this, the Lord Jesus Christ has all authority, all jurisdiction, all power of everything in this creation. Can I get an amen right there? Listen, I said it last night, I'll say it again. I do hope it rains again tonight. We're two for two. Praise God for nightly rain here in Bumpus Mills. Amen. We hope it does again. But if God wants it to rain in Bumpus Mills, do you know what happens? He says rain. If He wants that wind to blow, you know what happens? He said wind blow. Hey, you know what? If He wants that sun to come up at midnight tonight in Bumpus Mills, He says, sun, come up. Guess what? It comes up. Amen.
Right.
He has all power and all the creation to do whatever He wants to do, whenever He wants to do. And matter of fact, however He wants to do it. Amen. That's the very power there in verse 7 that is spoken of. But in verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let me ask you something. It had rained for 2 months here. Or maybe it's rained just a little bit 2 months. There's probably many times that you went out and looked at your garden and said, man, I wish it would rain. Amen? You say, well, I wish it rained. You might have went out there and did a rain dance. I don't know. I don't know what you did. Who knows? But you might have went out there and said, hey, rain. And it didn't rain a lick, did it? You know why? Because that's not the kind of power we were given. We're given the same power that Christ spoke of in Luke chapter 24 over there, not the same power He spoke of in Matthew 28 that He has. You see, this power is, it comes from a word called dunamis. It's the same word we get the word dynamite, amen? This is the same meaning ability. It means the capabilities. It means strength, amen? And this is what the Lord is telling us, is that I have all the power in all of the universe to do whatever I want to, whatever I want to. It's been given to me, and I'm going to give you the power, the ability to go forward and be a witness to me in this lost and dying world. The Holy Spirit of God is the one thing, is the thing that the Lord Jesus Christ used to give you and I, after we were saved and born again, the ability and the strength to live for Him, to please Him, to go forward in this world and to witness for Him. And listen, He is the power source tonight. Amen and amen. We receive the ultimate ability, strength, and power, the Holy Spirit of God, on the day that we were saved. And might I add to that, that we have the access to the One with all the power to possess a power for revival today. I've said this time and time this week, if we want it, we can have it. George Whitfield said that the Holy Spirit is the least known, least loved, least worshipped member of the Holy Trinity. I mean, have you ever wondered why so many Christians live defeated lives? Have you ever wondered why good men of God fall into doctrines of devils, deceiving people and being deceived themselves? You ever wonder why there's so many things that are just falling by the wayside, and why so many people just can't seem to get through their struggles in their life? They got the same Spirit of God that you do when you got saved. They're just not accessing the power source, my friend. When those first seven deacons were sought in Acts chapter 6, there was only two qualifications, amen. Number one, they had to be men full of faith. Number two, they had to be men full of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. We find that young man by the name of Stephen there, that he met both of these distinct qualifications. Stephen is mentioned being a man full of faith, meaning that he had no room for self-dependence, no room for sinful doubt, no room for subversive doctrine. But we also find that he was a man being full of the Holy Ghost, meaning that he had no room for self-preservation, for sinful perversion, or for subversive positions in his life. Stephen was a man full of faith because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible later on in Acts chapter 6 says he was a man full of power. Amen. You see, my friend, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you have no room for anything else. When you're full of faith, you have no room for anything else. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you are a man or a woman tonight full of power. Not once, may I say this tonight, not once in the Scripture, listen carefully to this. I want you to understand this, because our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God is faith-based. You understand that? It's faith-based, not feeling-based. It's faith-based. Amen. We have to trust fully and faithfully that He is inside of us so that we may be filled with Him, amen. Different than being received of Him, but being filled with Him, amen. Jesus, by the fact, the Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him, amen. Impossible. Not one time in recorded Scripture do we ever find that the Holy Ghost of God has either come upon someone in the Old Testament or filled someone in the New Testament outside of faith in the only begotten of the Father, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, wait a second, what do you mean, preacher? You said Jesus Christ has all power, and that Holy Spirit of God is the power and ability that He'll give to us, and this is true. But I will tell you this tonight, the Holy Ghost is resistible. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. You can resist the Holy Ghost.
Right.
To the saved on earth, we grieve the Holy Ghost. We read this verse last night, but it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. The word grieve means to make sorrowful. It means to affect with sadness or to offend. When we choose not to serve the Lord by faith, and we choose to do or believe things contrary to Scripture, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. No matter where we go, we think, say, or do, the Lord Jesus Christ is within us with the power and might of the Holy Spirit of God, and you can resist Him tonight as a child of God and thus grieve Him. In the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies was the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That's where He dwelt. It was separated there by the veil, amen. And only once a year could that high priest go in there to make atonement for the sin of Israel. But that's, the cross changed all of that. And the temple veil was rent in twain, amen. And therefore our bodies, our living bodies that we have right here, became the temple or the house, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. And we must tap into the power source that God has given us, so that we may live not a defeated life, but a victorious life in Christ, so that we may have revival this evening in our own hearts and our own minds. It is sad that Christians are falling and failing left and right today. And I'm going to tell you why I believe they are. I believe we're failing in our lives because we're dependent upon our own power and our own strength. There was a young missionary by the name of Herbert Jackson. He was given a car in his mission field of Africa. And it was a dependable car. It was a major asset to his ministry. There's one difficulty, and it would not start without pushing it or without jump-starting it. Now, I know today, it's, when you say, if you're preaching to a lot of young people and you say push-starter, they go, huh? What's that mean? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You pop the clutch and you get it started, right? And so what would happen for years on end, Jackson had to devise a plan whenever he went somewhere to cope with this difficulty. And be it where he had to park on the hillside when he went in to visit someone, or be close by a school so he could go get the kids to come out and push him off. He worked on, and throughout the day he was always careful to make sure he parked in the right places, so that he could jump that car off and go to his next visit. Amen. And for over 2 years, this young missionary, we find that he served the Lord faithfully, served God with all of his might and all this and that. And for all these years he did that. And when poor health began to force Jackson off the mission field, another missionary came and was to fill his position. And so Jackson was taking this young man around and showing him the villages and the people and the places they preached and the preaching points and the planted churches and all this and that. And each time he'd go by a school, he said, listen, when I visit this block right here, I make sure I park next to this school. I have plenty of kids that can come out and push start the car. And when he's across town, he says, I make sure I park right here, and that rock that's in the back, I put it under the tire. So when I get out, I can pull the rock out and I can pop a clutch and it'll start up. And he's showing him all these different things. He said, now here, the car is yours. And he says, now just serve the Lord faithfully and do this and that. And the young missionary looked at Brother Jackson and said, do you mind if I look underneath the hood? He said, no, go ahead. He goes, look underneath the hood. The young man got underneath there, started fooling around a little bit. And next thing you know, he came out from underneath the hood, got inside the car, put the clutch in, put the key in, and turned it, and started right up. And Jackson stepped back and thought, my soul. He said, how did that happen? He said, Brother Jackson, I hate to admit this to you, but I believe the only trouble that you had underneath there was just a loose cable, and all I had to do was reconnect it to the power source. You see, the power to start that car was there all the time. He only needed to be connected. Beloved, you're here tonight, you're saved, and you're born again of the blood of Christ. That power source of revival is inside of you tonight, and it's been there the whole time, amen. All you got to do is get a little connected, amen. He came inside of us, my friends, so we can have the power to serve Him. Secondly, we understand that the power source is there to manifest His presence in our life. Back in John chapter 16, this is what we find. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life simply means this. In verse 8, the Bible says, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Bible says of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Let me stop there just for a second. You ever read a book and you go back and read the back page first and then go to the front and start reading it? And just so you know the end of the story. Now, I don't do that. I can't, you know, but I know a lot of people that do. I've done that before, and here's what I've done. I've read the back 4 or 5 pages, and I went, wow. And now I've gone to the front. You know what? It just didn't so much have the excitement to it. You know what I'm saying? And I'd have to force myself through a couple of those chapters. But then I'd get in there and some of those names are brought out and the stories are brought out. And the climax are going up and down, up and down, up and down. And then I'm thinking, whoa, wait a second. This is going to... And I think, wait a second. I know what happens in the end. We're doing all right now. Let's just keep on moving. It's kind of like watching a football game when you're a fan of something of a particular team, watching on videotape, and somebody slid you the score, amen, before you started watching that thing. And you see that, you know, let's just say that Alabama in that third week of October, they just blew Tennessee out of the water. But you got that score, amen, and you're watching Tennessee gets a couple first downs and they get an interception here, and you're like, yeah, but I know the end of the story. We win when it comes to the end, amen. Or vice versa, however we're just talking tonight. It could be Tennessee beating Alabama, which I hope doesn't happen, but nevertheless, amen. He says here in verse 12, he says, verse 11, he says, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now, beloved, when it comes to this Bible right here, I've read the back of the book and I've seen the end of the story. I know who wins, and bless God, I'm on the winning side. Amen.
Amen.
The prince of this world is judged, and he that is judging the prince and judging the world is in me tonight. His presence is with me. The Bible tells me to be not drunk with wine, where it says, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And this verse does not support social drinking, but it's rather teaching us that we need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to take control of our lives, amen. You received Him when you got saved. He's inside of you the whole time. The power source for revival is there. We just got to get connected. We got to see His presence in our days today, amen. We received Him at salvation, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God is to be under His influence and His direction in our life. Verse 13 in the latter part says, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, being under His influence tonight, is having an understanding of things to come. My friend, are we operating tonight, Bumpus Mills? Are we operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God? Are we operating under the Holy Spirit of God fully and faithfully? Hey, listen, can I ask you this question tonight? Does the Holy Spirit have free reign? Does He have free course in our life tonight? Are we tonight receiving the power by His reception tonight? Are we tonight experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our life tonight? Have we resignated from our own self-will and our own desire and our own control and our own thoughts and rendered ourselves over to Him to serve Him faithfully so that revival may come right here into this church in Bumpus Mills? Amen. Are we doing that tonight? Do we want the presence of God in our life this evening? I'll tell you a little story about a lady who was only married for a short period of time and her husband died. They only had one child. And even though she was living off of a school teacher's pension, she wanted her son to have a top quality education. In her mind, no sacrifice was too great for her. She worked early, she worked late to ensure her son would have the best studies available. And that old boy would finish his school and go to college, excel in college, and then go to med school and would eventually become a famous physician. And due to his busy schedule, he seldom saw his mother, and his mother, of course, seldom saw him. And after some time, he would marry a girl from a very wealthy family. We would call it old money. And this great physician, even though he loved his mother dearly and cherished her companionship and cherished her opinion and cherished her as his mother, he really was a narrow soul, if you will, and was ashamed to confess to his bride that he was really from humble origins, that he wasn't from old money. He was afraid that the young girl would be ashamed of his mother. And although the young man had not forgotten his mother, he hadn't forgotten her great love, hadn't forgotten her great sacrifice, he greatly desired to see her. He didn't forget any of those things. He just never would speak of his mother to his new bride. So finally, one day, he decided to speak to his wife, and he said, "You know, my dear, how different the servants are in the country than they are from the city." He said, "At home we have this faithful maid, and when I was ill when I was a child, she watched over me many long nights. Had she not cared for me in the manner that she did," he said, "you would have never known me." He said, "You know, dear wife, we have an attic. We have a room up in the attic, and it's not being used. If you would agree, I would love to have Miss Mary come and live with us." And with joy and with excitement, his young wife agreed, and the man sat down and wrote his mother of the news, begged her to come, but said this in the letter, "You just may not tell anyone that you are my mother." Now, in your heart and your mind, you're probably thinking that dear woman took that letter, wadded up, and threw it in the trash. But not Mary. She loved her son. And if she just got to spend some time with him and see him, it was fine with her. So she came, this plain little woman, Mary, and this famous doctor introduced her to his wife by saying, "This is faithful Mary." And from that moment forward, Mary would live up in the room in the attic. And when the young bride would go visit her friends and do things in town, the doctor would sneak upstairs and talk with his mother of his childhood. And the hours were great joy to Mary and to the young son. But nobody else noticed her presence. No one else knew that she was there in the house. This dear old mother, this Miss Mary, remained hidden away in a single room. Only once on her arrival had she seen the other beautiful rooms in her son's house. But for Mary, she lived up in the attic in an empty room. I wonder how many of us tonight received the Holy Spirit of God on the day that we were saved, but tonight He's only dwelling in a room in the attic. I wonder how many of us tonight that when that Holy Spirit of God entered inside of us, it was only for a short, brief moment in time that He saw the rest of the temple that He dwells in. I wonder if the Holy Spirit of God is resting in that room right now, tucked away in His own place, only to be visited from time to time, maybe at times of need or times when we have a moment to visit with Him. You see, beloved, I'm here to tell you tonight that if we're going to have revival in this land, we're going to have to connect to the power that's within us. But if we're going to have revival in this land, when we connect to that power, there's going to be a presence known of those that are around us. And to be fully engaged into that power tonight, thirdly and lastly, we're going to have the prevalence of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. My friend, prevalence is defined as the fact or condition of being prevalent, commonness. That is to say this, free reign. In John chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And He shall glorify Me, for He shall not receive, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." He says, "All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore," He said, "said I, that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you." Friend, does the Holy Spirit of God have free reign in our life tonight? Did we, with open arms and open hearts and open joy, invite Him into our life and with the reception of the Holy Spirit of God and forgiveness of our sins and only escort Him up to a room in the attic? Do we only visit Him at times of need or when we have nothing else to do? Beloved, it is a relationship that the Lord is looking for tonight. Is a relationship that revival will come through the Holy Spirit of God. The power that was given unto you and I by the Lord, who has all power to send forth the Comforter to power us to fulfill His purpose on this earth. And in order for revival to be effective in our world today, we must have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And I know you said, "Well, preacher, we're independent Baptists. We don't like using that term, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit." We've allowed people who live and thrive of not rightly dividing the Word and live and thrive on emotions to rob us of what the presence of the Holy Spirit of God is. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're here tonight and you're saved and born again, you're saved because of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I can tell you all the words. I can say everything. I can be the slickest salesman, salesman this side of Nashville. I could be that guy tonight. You're not getting saved without the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I'm not afraid to say Holy Ghost. I ain't afraid to say Holy Spirit. Amen. I pray the power and might of the Holy Spirit of God when I preach and when I don't care where it is, because He's the third entity of the eternal Godhead, and we cannot shun Him and stick Him up into a room tonight, amen, if we want revival in this land this evening. We got to be engaged to the power source. We got to connect to the power source inside of us. There needs to be a presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. But my friend, He must be prevalent. He must have a common place. He must have free reign in our life to lead us this evening. So I ask you this, and I'll give you the rest of the story and we'll be done. How effective are we today in those that are around us? How much are we affecting our community tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I ask you this? Are we seeing souls saved on the job place? Are we seeing souls saved in the office, in the shops, in the grocery stores? Are we seeing souls saved in the restaurants? You say, well, preacher, people don't get saved there. I just heard a story by a dear friend of mine up in Ohio that led a 92-year-old World War II veteran to the Lord in the restaurant. The waitress was bringing the food to the table, and he bowed his head and got saved right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Waitress stood there with the big trays as he ushered that soul up into glory. Amen. How effective are we tonight? As the story would go, the young bride would eventually notice that her husband was depressed. He had a depressing demeanor, was living a defeated life. She discovered his secret, and she asked him, "How could you thank me to be so narrow-minded to not tell me that she was your mother?" Hand in hand, they ran to the attic, and the young bride took the woman's hand. She pressed it to her face. She said simply unto her, she said, "Hello, mother." And they knelt and they asked her forgiveness, and they led her victoriously downstairs, giving her the prettiest and sunniest room of all. And from that moment, joy entered into the home. Beloved, you'll have joy in your life when the Holy Spirit of God has free reign in your body. At the first, the mother dwelt only in a room, stowed away his luggage in an attic. Yet later on, she was given full possession of the home. And that is the byproduct of having possession of the home, was joy was replenished there. The fruit of the Spirit has always been the benefit of others. And the fruit that we saw in that life was joy that came into that home once again. So, beloved, have you asked the Holy Spirit to come down out of the attic? Have you asked the Holy Spirit of God to assume full possession of the whole house and not just one part of your life? Have you given the Holy Ghost a hearty welcome at one time at your conversion and asked Him tonight to make His home with you and for you and by you? He came in with tender sweetness in your life as a gracious, willing guest. But how did we treat Him when He came in? May I ask you this? Did you give the Holy Spirit of God a royal welcome? Did you make Him feel at home tonight? Did you bid Him to make Himself at home in all the rooms, body, soul, and mind, and spirit? Have you placed them all under His influence and control tonight? Our friend, tonight, is the Holy Spirit stowed away in the attic of your life? We have the power tonight for revival. We have it. It's there. We have the power this evening. We just need the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. We just need to yield our life over to Him to serve, so that He may be prevalent in our days. So I ask you again tonight in closing, do you want revival? When D.L. Moody was just starting in his ministry, he heard a preacher make this statement. He said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man fully surrendered to Him." Moody said my prayer that night, by God's grace, I'll be that man. Friend, will you invite the Holy Spirit of God from the attic tonight and give Him full possession of your life today so that that power source may bring the presence of the Holy Spirit of God so that He may be prevalent in our hearts, in our homes, in our churches, in our counties, in our community, that one day it'll be in our country once again. Will you bow your heads tonight? With every head bowed, every eyes closed this evening. You're here tonight and the Lord has touched your heart in such a way. You've heard it each service that I've asked. If you're here and God has spoken to your heart, I just want to pray for you. I won't come to your seat. I will not embarrass you. But if you are here this evening, and by a show of hands and say, preacher, I want you to pray for me tonight. I need to yield my members more over to the Holy Spirit of God. I need to give Him full possession. If that's you tonight, I simply want to pray for you. Praise God. So, thank you for your honesty. Put your hand up, put it back down. You're here tonight and say, I just want to be a yielded member for the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I cannot say without a shadow of a doubt that if I died this evening, I would go to heaven. You've heard this request be made known each time, each service this week. If you're here tonight and you are not 100% sure that if you died tonight, you'd be in the arms of Christ, I just want to pray for you tonight. The Holy Spirit of God may come upon you, it may come within you, and you may be saved and born again to the blood of Christ. If that's you tonight, just signify by the uplifted hand. I will not come to your seat, I will not embarrass you. But if you're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm unsure if I died this evening, I'd go to heaven. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Anyone at all? Amen. Anyone at all? Father in heaven, we commit now to you this time of invitation. We ask you, dear Lord, to again have your reign, have your full reign in our life tonight. Lord, we yield our bodies over to you as service to obey. Father, we pray that these people, the good people of Bumpus Mills, dear Lord, and all that are visiting tonight in this revival, dear Lord, that I pray they would come down, that they would ask the Holy Spirit of God to come out of the attic, to give full reign into their life, full reign into their heart, into their mind. Lord God, that they would yield their members over to Him to obey tonight, to be the servant of the Almighty God, and we serve Him in spirit and truth. Lord, I ask you now, have your will and your way this evening. In Christ's most glorious name, I ask.